Welcome to the Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this June the 22nd on the West Coast, now June the 23rd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to also welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network. I know that you're going to find tonight's show informative, inspirational, and motivational. Rather than get into the dark topics of what's going on, first of all, I want to start off the show tonight responding to a request for something that I have produced in regard to music. This is back when I was working for the CIA, if you believe that. Yes, I am a musician, a composer, arranger, producer, all of that stuff. And this is actually sort of a rough mix demo form that I sang with a mild case of laryngitis. I had gone for a number of days working on something, and I was sending this song to someone who was considering recording it. It turned out that that person became ill and couldn't record the song either, so all I had was this demo, and I really need to redo the vocal on it, but I thought I would play it for you anyway. It describes a relationship that a lot of people have in their lives where their significant other sort of drifts away, and it's sort of a soul-searching kind of song. It's called Once Upon a Dream.
Sir.
Yep, that's yours truly, Once Upon a Dream. A different way of starting tonight's show off. Tonight is Wellness Wednesday. Why do we call it Wellness Wednesday? Well, we have with us tonight an author of 10 health guides, numerous CD-ROMs, books, audio learning programs, award-winning video series entitled Is Your Diet a Riot? A number of special reports, over 400 articles on fitness, stress, and nutrition, a weekly e-zine that goes out to over 13,000 opted-in subscribers. This is not spam. These are people looking for the material, as well as 18 websites and 10 health systems distributed in at least 37 countries. We welcome back to Evident Footprints my good friend, Dr. Wayne Pickering. Dr. Pickering, how are you this evening?
Oh, great. Listen, I'm so glad I finally get to hear you sing.
Well, I wasn't my best at that moment, you know.
Well, like, I was going to call it Sing a Mean Tune, but I thought, well, I'll wait to get back to you. Good job.
Oh, it's I really need to make the time to go back and redo that, you know, which is, that happens all the time in the industry. You do a track just to lay it down so somebody can hear it and get a feel for it. And I sang it very much, you know, to the melody and didn't stray from it so that the person could put their own feel into it, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, Don, I've produced over 100 CDs, and I think we're all our own worst critics. I don't really care to get on there and hear what I do, although sometimes when I'm doing interviews, of course, when I'm interviewing a lot of great physicians and a lot of Olympic athletes, and I'm very, very excited about it, and one year I interviewed over 20 gold medal Olympic winners for the U.S., and it was for a major project for the National Speakers Association, and when I listened to those, I was really okay with it. But mm-hmm. Most of the time, we're our own worst critics, yes.
Yeah, well, anyway, it is what it is. So
yep.
If you liked it, great. If you didn't, it was Elvis Presley come back. It's always somebody else to blame it on.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I chose that song actually is just to get away from the humdrum of everyday, the same things being pounded into our head and into our subconscious mind and not giving it a second thought, you know. And it's an original. I answered the request. I hope they're happy. So I've got other songs. Some of them are too long to play, you know, as an introduction to the show, so I chose not to play them, where actually my voice is in tip-top shape. But that was, it is what it is, like I said. Well, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing very good, actually. It's warmer than the blazes down here, but I shall never complain because I don't do cold. And I was talking to a client of mine up in Wisconsin here a few days ago, and he said when they're doing their fitness, they have to actually look at the weather and dress for it. I said, golly, I mean, down in the 40s and 50s in the morning time when he gets up, boy, that must be rough.
Yeah.
So, but I'm doing great. Everything is fine with lots of swimming, lots of keeping myself as healthy as I know I can with all of the, gosh, we've just got nine brand new books up on Amazon.com. Just type in three words, Dr. D.R. period, Wayne Pickering, three separate words. We got nine books up there. We just that was a lot of work to get that project finished. And actually, it's not completely finished because we've got about, I think there's about eight more that's going to go in there, and we're just putting all of our stuff together. And it's what's really great, Don, when you know that your vocation is your vacation.
Oh yeah.
And we need to be healthy. That's the most important facet, in my opinion. We've got to be healthy so that we can maintain a strong spiritual connection, that we can continue to be of service, and do the things that we're here to do. So got to be healthy. And of all of the facets of life that I speak about in our Living Abundantly series, the career, the health, the economics, the communication, knowledge, emotion, recreation, and spiritual, you'll see that actually is an acronym for checkers. Mm-hmm. And when we play the game of checkers and make the right moves, the right jumps, good common sense, good strategy, then we win. Well, it's the same with the game of life. But when we look at all of those, the career, the health, when your health is shot, your career doesn't mean a hoot to you. The money, you spend all of your wealth to get your health back. Your communication with people is dismal at best. Your spirituality is suffering. You don't care to get out and exercise. Your emotions are all challenged. So, got to be healthy. And this series is crucial that we understand each of the components, and we've already discussed the how to get well. We talked about attitude. We're into the nutrition portion of it now.
Mm-hmm.
And last week we just touched base on vitamins, but I think we were going to talk about colors or something like that in food. What did you want to ask me?
Well, I did want to comment just briefly on what you said in regard to what brings about illness. It seems to me that all the people throughout my life that I've met that dislike their job, their vocation, or what they're doing to earn a living, whatever you want to call it, those that are unhappy with it are the first ones to get sick. Getting sick is their escape from it. You know, if they get sick enough, they're told to stay home and to get well. Now they come back with the attitude that, they're going to do better, or they come back with the attitude complaining about how sick they were, you know, and really a person has to take charge. That's the bottom line from what I know. I haven't taken a vacation in, I would say probably 30 years, maybe more. I never saw a need for a vacation. I was having so much fun doing what I did, I saw no reason to stop it. And if I didn't produce music or didn't teach music, I found something else that interested me enough that I hungered to get back into the music, you see. I couldn't dream of walking away from it, you see. So it's a mental state. It's an attitude, a take charge attitude. And, we're providing information here, which is going to empower people to do the right thing so that they're not sabotaging that, even those who are sincerely, you know, trying to accomplish their goals. So I wanted to make that comment. Now, last week, I think we ended, yes, we were talking about the colors of food and ways that we could sort of peg in the back of our mind what those colors mean, get a feel for what is nutritious and what body parts are affected by certain colors of food. We know that the eyes respond to certain colors, or the heart. You can almost guess red on that, can't you? The blood. But wherever you'd like to pick up would be fine with me.
Well, eating colorful foods, Don, is the key to good nutrition. I mean, it's interesting to note that the color of the food, as well as the shape of the food, indicates the area of the body that is going to be the most beneficial. Now, I've been teaching this for years, and with all my clients whom we put on personalized diets, they're all very well attuned to that, and in no time are amazed at how quick they benefit from eating foods which are full of just natural color. And we're not talking this red dye, this, and blue dye, that. And there's something else I get the clients to do. If you have to read a label of instructions on food, then usually it's been processed in a myriad of ways, okay? Mm-hmm. And if it has numbers or colors on the label, don't even think about it. So now what we're doing, we're talking about the natural produce that comes in all these beautiful, bountiful colors, and they have an arsenal of disease-fighting chemicals called phytonutrients. And to get enough of these, all you have to do really, I've got 7 different color categories that I want to share with you tonight. And also we've got 10 foods in here that I want to talk about the shapes of. And that way I think when you walk away from tonight, you'll have some good tips on start adding this, start adding that. And not all at the same time, too, by the way, because eventually I know we're going to get to a point in our nutrition section to where we'll talk about food combining. But right now let's talk about the colors. And here's the first color, red-purple. Now, these foods are just loaded with antioxidants, and they lower your risk of heart disease and stroke by inhibiting these clots, do you see? Now, what are those type of foods? Your berries. Berries are excellent. Blackberries, blueberries, cherries, cranberries, plums, prune, eggplant, by the way, raspberries, red apples, red cabbage, all of this, red peppers, strawberries, loaded. Now, the straight red foods that you were alluding to there a moment ago, those have a lycopene in them. Major cancer-fighting antioxidant. Now, yeah, that's tomatoes, guava, red grapefruit, watermelon. Now, the orange ones. This is the beta carotene in foods, much like carrots, apricots, winter squash, yams, sweet mangoes, sweet potatoes, cantaloupes. They help your eyes and your skin, and may even help reducing the risk of certain cancers. So those first three, I know you probably have something you'd like to add to that, but those first three are crucial, and the other four, very simple. If it's an orange-yellow, now what do you mean by an orange-yellow type of food? That's your nectarines, and they actually protect your cells from damaging. Now, when I'm out in the sun like I am, and I think I shared this with you before, but I decided not to ride my car for a year. Did I share that with you before?
Yeah, you were riding your bicycle, you said.
Yes, and I'm up to almost 9 months. July 1st will be 9 months. And my first goal was to, I wonder if I can go a week. Well, before I knew it, I went a month. And I said, well, this is not so bad at all. So I'm up to 9 months, but anyway, July 1st. When I'm out there in that sun, you must get some antioxidant foods in your body, because what you put into your body, as you're going to learn in the sunshine portion of our time together, that all those sunscreens, that's a scam. I mean, forget about it, and we'll be teaching you that. But if you get, it's more important to what you put into your body than what you put on your body. I'm not saying you don't put creams and put protective agents, but most of those sunscreens are a scam in my view. But the fifth category, it's the yellow-green type of foods. Now, they contain lutein, and They help with, fight cataracts and macular degeneration. And it's basically an overall protection for your eyes, the yellow-green ones. What's that, like avocados, collard greens, green beans, mustard greens, honeydew melons, zucchini, kiwi. Cucumbers are very good for that, too, spinach. These are your yellow-green foods. Now, the green foods, they're jam-packed with their chemicals, which actually stimulate the production of the cancer-fighting liver enzymes. This is crucial. Your broccoli, your cabbage, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, Chinese cabbage, kale, Swiss chard, all of those. And the last category is your white-green foods. Those are rich in flavonoids. And what would some of those be? Artichokes, asparagus, celery. Celery's excellent. And, of course, your endive and all of that. Now, all of these categories of food are just chock full of antioxidants, and they're delicious. And, I eat the bulk of my fruits and vegetables. I don't eat them all raw, of course. But I would say about maybe 70% of my intake is raw, because I want all the nutrients that I can get out of that. Now, how can you protect yourself? The answer is very simple. Antioxidants. And they're abundant in all of these vine-ripened fruits and vegetables. And try to remember this, because I want to get into the shape of the foods. If your lifestyle doesn't control your body, here's what's going to happen. Your body is going to control your lifestyle. So we've got choices, and that was one of the reasons I was excited to do this series with you, because to show people that we've got choices. We've got choices. Granted, there's doom and gloom, there's corruption, there's all kinds of garbage going on, but you got to be healthy, regardless of what's going on. You got to be healthy. Any comments on that? Because I want to talk about the shapes of the foods here before we move on.
Yeah, you mentioned antioxidants several times. Now, I've heard a lot of people talk about the various antioxidants that exist, but I've never heard anyone explain antioxidants or antioxidation. My presumption would be that it's anything that inhibits the deterioration of nutrients that are stored in foods, whether they're in containers or whether they're being consumed in the body and about to be processed. Would you explain?
No, I think you've done a good job on that, really. That's exactly what happens. And the antioxidants in the body, the oxidation at the cellular level really hampers the natural flow, the natural rhythm of the body, and in all aspects, with the nutrients being assimilated, the moods, all of this. So when you get these antioxidants in your body, you're going to feel like $1 million. You're not going to have to. There's a couple things I tell people not to do. Don't eat to lose weight. That's not a cool thing to do. As a matter of fact, it's foolhardy. Don't eat for energy. And don't eat because of stress. If we can keep that now, because these are just side benefits, you kick your stress level so much easier. Weight, you never have to measure this, weigh that, count this. That's all garbage. Forget about it. If you and actually what we do, Don, is I show people how to eat more, weigh less, 27 days guaranteed. Now, that's the weight loss portion of our business. However, if you and when we come back and do food combining, I did a special on my 64th last Monday, and I'm waiting and I'm holding out on that because I want to, when we get into food combining, I got something very special I'm going to give the listening audience. So be sure to tune into that, and that'll be a couple shows or a couple Wednesday nights, or now it's now Thursday from now. But here's the benefit of that. You're going to learn how to conquer acid reflux once and for all, guaranteed. You're going to learn how to totally eliminate indigestion within hours. And you're going to wipe out heartburn forever. Right now. Guaranteed. You don't have to take a pill for this, a pill for that. That's all mayhem. What we need to do is, first of all, implement these conditions and these little components that we're bringing together on just the nutrition portion of it. Watch what happens to your body. You're going to lose weight. You're going to feel fantastic. You're going to be fitting in your clothes so much better. Your breath is going to smell better. Your skin clears up. You don't have to worry about all of that. Your body doesn't go through all the smells and everything because of the lousy food we're eating. So get the different colors of the food down, but the shapes of the food, the shape of the food is very interesting. You take a look at a carrot, for example. Mm-hmm. That actually, and I know you know this, Don, because I think we've shared this together on our private conversations, but a sliced carrot looks exactly like the human eye. The pupil, the iris, the lines around the human eye, that's what the carrot looks like. And science shows that carrots greatly improve blood flow to the eyes. Here's a tomato. You mentioned a tomato a little while ago. It's great for the blood, and it's true.
Well, actually, you mentioned the tomato. I just mentioned the red food.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard tomato in there, but I could be wrong. And I stand corrected if I am. A tomato has four chambers, and it's red. The heart is red, and it has four chambers. And all of the research shows that tomatoes are definitely pure heart and blood food. Now take a look at the grapes, the way they hang in clusters, and they actually have the shape of the heart, and every grape looks like a blood cell, and all of the research today shows that grapes are profound heart and blood vitalizing foods. Walnuts, it's interesting, just take a look at a walnut. It looks like a little brain, a left and a right hemisphere, so to speak. And even the wrinkles are on the nut, just like that of the neocortex in the brain. And we know that walnuts help develop over 36 neuron transmitters for brain functioning. Interesting. Now, kidney beans, they actually heal and help maintain kidney function, and yes, they look exactly like the human kidneys. And I could go on. I put down a few of these foods here for us. But you take a look at celery and like rhubarb and those kind of things, and they actually look just like the bones. And they're specifically helpful to the bones. Bones are 23% sodium, and those foods I just mentioned are 23% sodium. If you don't have enough sodium in your diet, the body pulls it from the bones, making them weak. So these foods actually replenish the skeleton needs of the body. I got four more of these here I want to share with you. Avocados and pears. They target the health and the function of the womb and the cervix in females. And they actually look like those organs. And research today shows that when a woman, when they eat one avocado a week, it balances hormones. And it sheds all that unweighted birth weight and prevents cervical cancers. So I think that if you will check out some of these type of foods, sweet potatoes, for example, they look like the pancreas, and they actually balance the glycemic index of diabetics. Onions. I don't eat too many onions because of the I don't care for the pungentness of them, but they do have their benefits. They actually look like body cells, and there's an awful lot of research that shows that onions help get rid of waste from all of the body cells. Olives are also good, but try to start including some of these type of foods in your diet that have color and rich colors. And just remember that if your lifestyle doesn't control your body, eventually your body will control your lifestyle, guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you mentioned onions because they're, I think it was just a myth about, let's say like, food that people would, prepare for, picnics, say you make up a picnic basket or throw a bunch of food in a cooler and you set it out on a table in a park or wherever you're having this cookout, let's say, and somebody would eat the potato salad and get sick later on. They'd get a bad case of indigestion. And it was always blamed on the mayonnaise or the let's say the sauce of the potato salad, whatever people put in it. Usually it's something like mayonnaise or salad dressing. And it would be blamed for it, but I understand that onions, if not eaten when they're fresh, let's say like if you cut an onion and you put it in the refrigerator or just leave it out, it tends to develop mold pretty quickly. It tends to go bad, and that they've been able to trace a lot of the problems people have had with those types of dishes to the onions having been overexposed, let's say, to the elements. So you have anything to add in that regard?
Well, yeah, anything that's too pungent in a raw state, I try to stay away from it. I don't eat that many radishes. I would eat a radish, oh golly, once or twice a year. Even though they have their benefits, they just don't sit well in my system.
Yeah, see, now I love radishes. And
radishes, onions, raw garlic.
I like garlic, too.
Yeah, I do. I eat garlic, but I have an excellent recipe that I do. Do you eat fish, Don?
On occasion, I do. Okay. Not all the time. It's when my body's telling me, you know, that I should eat some. So
yeah. Well, here's a good little way to prepare a piece of fish. I take the juice of one lime. Now, you know that little citrus juicer, you know, where it spins on the top and you mash half the orange down?
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, that little spinner, you take that off and you grind a lime, half a lime in there that goes in your pot. Grind the other half a lime through there, get the juice out of it, and it's right down to the quick. So you've got all the juice out of there now, okay? I take a bulb, not just a clove, but a bulb of garlic, and I peel it and do that kind of thing. Then I take a cheese slicer, you know, the one that looks like a little blade.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now I'll run the garlic across that, and it comes out in paper-thin slices. Mm-hmm. It's in the bottom of the bowl, in the pot. I put the piece of fish on top of that. Now, the heat on the top of the stove, let's say from 1 to 10, one being the lowest. I always put it on 4. As a matter of fact, I had this tonight. Can't wait to share it with you. I was out in the garden the other day. Not my garden. There's an African-American gentleman. He's 81. He's had this acreage for, oh golly, 50-some years. And he's in town. And he grows fresh zipper peas, collards, okra, tomatoes, plums, tomatoes. I've never had a sweet tomato. These are sweet tomatoes. I was shocked. So anyway, I take one cucumber, 2 small zucchini squash. By the way, I've also got to give away something right now. I want everybody to go to YouTube.com and type in this one word, Dr. Mango Man, DrMangoMan. The reason I'm telling you that, letting you know about this. We have 27 DVDs up there. 14 are little 6 to 8 minute excerpts of me in a very well-known grocery store showing you how to pick out melons, how to pick out tomatoes, how to pick out cantaloupes, honeydews, mangoes, bananas, dates, bell peppers, summer squash, zucchini squash, all of it. So go there, and then now these ingredients I'm sharing with you, because a lot of people are getting excited. Now, Ethel, that sounds pretty good there, honey. Let's go do that one. Now, that, Dr. Wayne, that's pretty good. But then when they get there, lost. So as far as how to select the food. So go in there, YouTube.com, type in Dr. Mango Man, all one word, DrMangoMan. And you get all those videos there at your disposal. And they're all free, so just it's something that you can use as your tool. Now, I get the summer squash, the zucchini squash, the tomatoes, cucumber, little celery, okra, and tomatoes. I paper-thin slice the celery because in the bottom, and I take one of the tomatoes because I always do two tomatoes, cut the tomato up and put it on the bottom. I take that cheese slicer again, Don, and I run that zucchini squash all the way over it, put a little basil on the top, then run the summer squash, the okra, and I never cook okra. To me, it's a waste. I always eat okra raw. One of the best, I think we talked about this too, one of the best laxatives that I know of. I mean, boy, you'll be moving. So we cut all those up, toss it like a salad. Now the fish has just got finished cooking. I take the sauce that the fish cooked in with the garlic and the lime, and I pour all over that salad, and I toss it again, and I put the piece of fish on the top of it. That's a wonderful dinner.
Well, it sounds like it. Now, cutting the garlic that thin basically liquefies it when you cook it that way, doesn't it?
No, not at all, actually.
No?
No, it still maintains its form, and... So you've got all that mixture in there, Don. You're going to love that. That's anybody wants to come back and listen to this archive and hear that recipe, you will be just overwhelmed with how good that one is. Got one last little one I'm going to share with you. And we talked about antioxidants, and what we put into our body is so much more important than what we put onto the body for our cell protection if we're out in the elements. Take 6 oranges, cut them up, and you can go back to that YouTube site, and I'm in the kitchen doing one. It's called my orange pine straw salad, smoothie. But I'm going to change the ingredients just a little bit here for you, but just watch me how I peel those oranges. You cut the stem end off, you run a line down the side, and you put a spoon there, and you turn the orange around the spoon, and within 8 to 10 seconds, you completely peeled the orange. Now, cut the flesh off. I separate the core, get rid of the seeds, and I'll throw 3 oranges in my Vitamix, or if you got a real good blender, the pint of blueberries, half a pint of raspberries, and a mango. Now, put the other 3 oranges on top of that. Bring that to a high speed for 1 minute. That makes you 2 quarts of the best-tasting breakfast and chock-full of antioxidants and sweet. Makes the energy you get from that is phenomenal. And that's a great breakfast. Now, people will ask me, where did you get your protein from there, son? I said, listen, everything you consume has protein in it. Everything. Some more abundant than others.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, what happens, man, is if it's 15% or more protein, then it is classified as a protein. But all food has proteins, carbohydrates, and a certain amount of fat in it. Here's my point. So where do you get your protein? I'll always ask you that. You know, and I said, listen, if everything you eat, everything you consume breaks down into a liquid form so that by the time the nutrient gets to the cell, you can't even see it with the naked eye. Why not eat the stuff that gets there the quickest?
Mm-hmm.
It's energy giving. It's delicious. It's cheap. It's energy giving to the max, and you just feel good, your bowels move right, you urinate well. If you've got any kind of issues with your prostate, that lightens up immeasurably and quickly. I have clients that are doing that just now as we speak. Now, I don't get in the business and say this cures, this does this. You just have to stop causing the problem. Don't look for something to appease a condition. Look for what you're doing, keep a track of that. When you figure out what you're doing wrong, make a file of it, like I was sharing with you in one of our previous times together, my personal ailments and what causes them.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there's a couple recipes for you to get it on a roll, and you should be good to go for a while. I know you probably got something there you'd like to share.
One question about antioxidants now. I know that some antioxidants are classified as fatty acids, and that those can come from a variety of sources, say fish oil or hemp oil or even hemp seeds. Can you name some other?
Sure. Thank you for asking. Nuts, seeds, avocados, coconut, olives. But you see, it's hard to get good olives, man. I mean, you really got to pay the price of it. I go to a health food store. It's one of these Whole Foods, and you got to pay dearly for them. But I don't eat that many of them, and I'll have olives 2 to 3 times a year. But I'll eat avocados other times, nuts other times. But I used to eat more nuts than I do now. They don't sit well with me if I eat them any more than twice a week. Avocados, yeah, I like them okay. But coconuts I really like, but... When I'm out there in the ocean, and the heavy oils in there, a lot of times they kind of curtail my ease of breathing and my heart, since I was concerned with my heart most of my life. So I've got to be very tenacious about that. Mm-hmm. But if you're having a challenge in any part of your body, and it flares up on you, try to figure out what did you do? What did you do? Because it just doesn't just happen. It's your protection. It's your signal. You should always use that problem. I wouldn't say a problem, but your indicator as a blessing. That's your barometer. Okay, I can't do that anymore. I'm going to do this. Or what did I do? But people don't like change. The only people who don't like change are wet babies. People don't want to change. Nothing wrong with change, believe me.
Everything's changing all the time, whether you like it or not.
That's very, very true, man.
Now, as far as oils to stay away from, would you say that hydrogenated oils are probably something to avoid?
They're terrible. They will wreak havoc in your body immeasurably. And stay away from your hydrogenated oils and any really heavy cooked oils. The only oils I will consume, if I'm going to have oil, not a lot of olive oil, maybe a teaspoon of olive oil sometimes if I want to put a little bit different flavor or a little different consistency in some recipes. But I use almond oil on my body because it has a natural 8 sun protective factor. So when I use my aloe, and I have to do this too, Don, I've got to show people how to get all the medicinal value out of an aloe plant, and mm-hmm. I figured it out, and I can tell you about that. If you take an aloe plant, and you see where I'm going with the oils, if you take an aloe plant, let's say it's about 1.5 feet long, a stem, and I cut about 2 inches of it off, and I put the rest in one of those little bags, those plastic bags that they throw those papers in your driveway 2 to 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
I use the papers for the bottoms of the bird cage, and I go ahead and use the plastic for put my aloe plants in there, and then I put it in the refrigerator. So now I've got about 2-inch little cut of this aloe. What you do is you cut the little spiny ends off of it. Now you run your knife right through the center portion. Now you get 2 little pads. Men can rub that against their face, up against their beard, and all that gook just comes out of there, and the medicinal value of that for your skin is unparalleled. It's exceptional. Then, right after that, I make all my own lotions. I don't buy lotions, and people give me lotions. I just give them away. Thank you very much. But I take my own lotions, and there's 30 different kinds of fruit and vegetable oils in there, and I add the almond oil to it for the protection when I'm out in the sun. But olive oil, yeah, a little almond oil I'll consume at times, but I just try to get all of the oils from the food I eat and not some processed oils. I find I fare out so much better.
Yeah, on occasion I use coconut oil, actually. And to tell you the truth, everybody loves it, you know, people that have tried it, and it doesn't seem to... let's say, get absorbed into the food. You know, if you're heating something up and you don't want it to stick to a skillet, you can use a
there you go.
But as far as
you know, putting it in salads and stuff and eating it, oh, Don, I can't do that at all.
Oh, no, I don't do that. No, no. Just for heating something up and preventing it from sticking.
Yeah. Here's another little recipe that I used to make as an appetizer for guests who are dyed-in-the-wool scallop eaters. I said, okay. I go down to the fresh fish market, and we've got the best, I think, in the country right here. This is phenomenal. And I'll get maybe, if there's going to be four people, that'll be a pound of scallops, 4 ounces per person. I put those in a skillet with a little coconut oil. Now, when they're done on one side, and they don't take long, they just take about a minute at the outset and then a minute on the other side, I will cut them in quarters, you know, with that wooden spatula, you know, that has the straight edge on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I throw, now, there's two vegetables you never cook. You never cook asparagus, you never cook spinach. So what I do is I take a little fistful of spinach, put in a little salad bowl, salad bowl, salad bowl, salad bowl. There's four salad bowls with a little fistful of spinach. In the meantime, the scallops are done. I will take about 20 spears of asparagus, cut them up, throw in there, and just mix it up real good and just get the flavors because I don't like to cook asparagus, and it gets just a little bit warm, and I will put 4 ounces of all of that on top of that spinach and sprinkle just a little bit of almond powder on the top of it. Whew! Little basil, stop me somebody. That's delicious.
You're making everybody hungry out there.
I was going to say, are you on the next flight coming down?
Well, now, we're talking about stove or oven cooking, let's say, depending on what it is somebody's actually preparing for a meal. I absolutely detest the whole concept of microwaving. What are your thoughts on that? I know what you're going to say, but for listeners out there.
People will ask me if I have a microwave. I mean, absolutely not. I don't watch television. I refuse to have one of those microwaves in the house. The only two benefits that I can think of that would be worth mentioning, number one is convenience. Most people are serving food on the basis of taste and tradition, and they do it in haste and they forgot nutrition. And, of course, here's the second benefit of it. It's that plate that's on the bottom of the microwave oven. It makes the best cutting board I know of. And it's the only cutting board I've used for almost 30 years. It's perfect. And I went into a junk store on the way over to, I say junk store, this was the most organized bunch of junk I've ever seen in my life. Never saw it, anything like it. And so I was so overwhelmed with how scattered. It was organized, but it was still all over the place, if there's such a thing. So I went in there, and I saw this cutting board. It was came from a microwave, and it was perfect. I said, how much would you like for that? Oh, let me have a dollar for that, dear. I said, thank you very much. I took it, and for 30 years, for $1, I've had the best cutting board and doesn't have any kind of a fungus or mold that builds in it because of the wood cutting boards. So, but here is something that you might not have considered, but have you ever wondered whether or not microwaved food is safe? I want you to try this, everybody at home. Plant seeds in two pots. Put one pot of water, take one pot and use the water that you microwaved and put the seeds in another pot with just regular tap water. As toxic as that regular tap water is, still, just try this. The seeds that were in the microwaved oven will never sprout. Not in the microwaved oven, but the microwaved water.
Yeah, you don't want to pour it on it hot anyway. You want to let it cool off. But
oh, gosh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
But the ones that were in the tap water, Don, they do quite well. And if microwaved water can stop plant seeds from growing. Think of what microwaved food can do to your health. Now, according to the Journal of Science of Food and Agriculture, here a few years back, they came out with a report, and it's something I've known for years, but I'm glad they did it. Raw is best. It retains almost 100% of the food value. Steaming and stir-fried, you lose about 11% of the nutrients. Boiling, you lose about 66% of the nutrients. And microwaving, you lose up to 97% of the nutrients. And we have to wonder, why in the world did the Soviet Union ban the use of microwaves since 1976? Who invented microwaved ovens and why, you wonder? The answers, I tell people, well, you'll be shocked. And you'll probably throw the thing in the trash. Over 90% of American homes, Don, have microwaved ovens. And I'm going to read you a little something here that I cut out of a journal that I was reading. This Dr. Hans Hartel, he's now retired. He worked as a food scientist for a long time with one of these real big Swiss food companies that do business globally. Now, a few years ago, he was fired from his job for questioning certain processing procedures that just denatured the food. Here's what happened. In 1991, he and a Lausanne University professor published a research paper showing what happened to food when it was cooked in microwaves and the problem that it took on people's health and what really happened. So, think of this. Isn't it odd when you think about it, Don, in America, there's no university nor federal government has ever conducted any tests, but all over the world they do. And you got to think about our country seems to be more concerned with what happens if the door in a microwaved oven doesn't close properly. I mean, common sense is going to tell you that our attention really should be focused on what happens to the food cooked in the microwave. Now, Dr. Lita Lee of Hawaii reported in December back 2 decades ago in the Lancet and in her book, Health Effects of Microwave Radiation. Check this out, Ben. Here's what she came up with. I'm going to give you a few of these. I had to copy these down tonight just in case you asked this. Continually eating foods processed from a microwaved oven causes long-term permanent brain damage by shorting out the electrical impulses in the brain, depolarizing and demagnetizing the brain tissue. I cut about 6 or 7 of these out for you. The human body cannot, will not, ever metabolize, break down, the unknown byproducts created in microwaved ovens. Here's an interesting fact too, Don. Check this out. Microwaves aren't really a heating process. They're a mechanical process. You take and you rub your hands, you rub your hands, and you keep rubbing your hands real, real fast. Your hands warm up. Mm-hmm. At the cellular level, this is what's happening. The microwave jars the cellular level of food at such pace that it heats up so quickly and just denaturizes it practically entirely.
Actually, it heats up the moisture in the food. Usually, which is water or some derivative of water. And if I can share something with you.
Please do.
I don't know if you've ever met a dowser or someone who is sensitive to energies, subtle energies.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm a dowser, and I can take a piece of fruit or a vegetable in a grocery store. I can just basically hold either a pendulum or a wand over the food in the store, and if it doesn't exhibit the proper spin, a vortexial spin, then I won't purchase it. It has no life force in it. Now, if you take a piece of fruit or vegetable that has a predetermined amount of life force and you put it in a microwave, I don't care if it's 5 seconds, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, you will reverse the spin and and it will show that there's no life force. It's actually a negative life force. So it doesn't support life. Why would you want to eat it? Not to mention that if you eat it hot, it's still cooking when it goes in your body.
Yes. And my mother loves her soup so hot that it burns her bridge. And I said, why? You can't just test it. You're just sucking it down so quick. I mean, how can you do that? Do you know, if we continue to eat microwave food, it causes cancerous cells to increase in the blood. It causes the immune system deficiencies through the lymph gland. And it causes loss of memory, concentration, emotional instability. It causes stomach and intestinal cancerous growth. And that may be why the big good explanation, I should say.
They promote it, yeah.
Yeah, of this terribly huge increase of colon cancer in America. Here's the thing. Have you thrown your microwave out, everybody? Come on. The best and safest way to heat your food is to use your stovetop and throw away your microwave. Heating up food is less harmful, and although it may take a little bit more time, like a few more minutes, at 350 degrees to warm your leftovers, and maybe 30 to 60 minutes at the max, well, I don't cook food that long anyway, but I mean at least 10 to cook your meal, you're going to be healthier in the long run, and you'll discover how much better your food actually tastes. Get rid of that microwave. Don, I know we're out of time, but man, it's been a nice time to be with you.
Well, I hope we covered what you wanted to cover. It's important information and certainly something for people to think about. You have to make these choices yourself. I hear stories over and over how people are getting sick from eating fast food and their health is deteriorating. And they're looking for answers. They're looking for another quick fix. It's an easy fix, but it may take a little bit more time, but it's definitely worth it, and it adds years to your life.
Oh, gosh, yes, man. You know what you mentioned tonight in our conversation here, that about food irradiation and irradiating oils, and let's talk about that next week. I'd like to start talking about that. Can we do that?
Absolutely. You'll be my guest. Why not?
Thank you so much. So come on back, everybody, and we'll talk about food irradiation, and I think we might even have a little bit of time for letting me show you how to read labels. So let's talk about that the next time.
Okay. Very good. Dr. Wayne Pickering, I thank you for being on Evident Footprints, and I want to let the listening audience know that you will be here the 29th and 30th, depending on where you are in the world, next Wednesday, Wellness Wednesday, and I appreciate you being on the show. Also, I want to remind the listeners, go to YouTube.com, type in Dr. Mango Man, and check out these videos that Dr. Pickering mentioned. They're free, and you should check them out. Can't beat it. Dr. Pickering, I wish you a good night, and have a wonderful week.
Thank you very much, Don. All the best to you, man.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and our guest, Dr. Wayne Pickering. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints over at BBS Radio tonight. We had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guests will be Ken Adachi and Z.S. Livingstone. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.